from the heartland of America and the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, around the nation, across the world. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. Next hour, Linda Moulton Howe will be with us live in Los Angeles. That's where Linda is. We're going to be talking about crop circles for an hour next hour, and then we'll come back with more open lines right here on Coast to Coast. Earlier today, I had just finished working out in my small house gym. Nothing elaborate, just a little treadmill and some weights. And I went to the refrigerator when I was done, grabbed a bottle of water. And that's when it really hit me. I was thinking about those people in New Orleans primarily. People without water, without food, happening in America. It's almost as if New Orleans has become a third world nation now. I think we were just not prepared for this kind of catastrophe. Finally, however, some relief convoys have finally arrived in New Orleans to help. Thousands of National Guardsmen and women armed with food, water, weapons streamed into the hurricane-ravaged New Orleans to bring relief to the suffering and take back the streets from the looters and armed vigilantes who have been out of control. The cavalry, they say, is here and will continue to arrive. The multitudes of storm sufferers had mixed reactions, by the way, to the arrival of convoys and supplies 4 days after Hurricane Katrina slammed the Crescent City. Lord, I thank you for letting us get them here, said Leisha Radford in New Orleans' convention center as the military rolled in with orders to retake the streets and feed the hungry. But 46-year-old Michael Levy said they should have been here days ago. I ain't glad to see them. President Bush landed in Mobile, Alabama Friday morning to tour the devastated area and reassure nervous survivors that the federal government will help them rebuild. He later did a close flyover of New Orleans, where he vowed order will be restored. He also said a $10.5 billion in emergency funds being appropriated by Congress is a small down payment on recovery costs to help the people of New Orleans and other areas hit by Hurricane Katrina to get them back on their feet. The Senate bill passed on Thursday. The House follows suit. The president expected to sign it later in the day, and he did. The White House announced that Bush had approved federal disaster aid for Texas and Arkansas as well, which also suffered hurricane damage. The president urged people to donate money to the Red Cross. U.S. Senator David Vitter said that the death toll from Hurricane Katrina could top 10,000 in Louisiana alone. He says that his guess is it will start at 10,000, but he says again it is only a guess. Vitter is a Louisiana Republican. He also called for the immediate deployment of regular U.S. combat troops in New Orleans, saying the buildup of National Guard troops was way too slow to quickly restore order. Such a step would require Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco to formally request the dispatch of federal Army soldiers, which is a highly unusual step, of course. And, you know, over the past week, we have had guests on the air with their own specific theories about the makeup of Hurricane Katrina. They all believe, of course, that it started as a tropical storm. But these guests also believe that weather manipulation played a role, almost as a weapon. Earlier today, President Bush said this. Listen to this quote. "We have a responsibility to help clean up this mess," the president said after meeting with leaders of some of the Gulf Coast states. But here's the big quote here. "It's as if the entire Gulf Coast were obliterated by the worst kind of weapon you can imagine." Now, I don't know, quite frankly, if the president is making reference to the fact that some people believe that Hurricane Katrina was indeed a manipulated weather weapon. But it sure is strange to hear that. "It's as if the entire Gulf Coast were obliterated by the worst kind of weapon you can imagine." And, of course, the fatal blow was the storm surge that hit New Orleans. Hurricane storm surges have resulted in limited flooding of the city of New Orleans before, for years. But Hurricane Katrina's winds pushed into a devastating surge of water from the Gulf of Mexico that overwhelmed the city's system of levees built to hold back the surrounding Mississippi River and Lake Pontchartrain. On Sunday, a day before making landfall, Katrina built up strength in warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico. It was a Category 5 storm with sustained winds of 160 miles an hour. However, it dropped in its category, But those sustained winds, that surge stayed strong. And they still are trying to figure out why was Katrina just so, so powerful. A day before President Bush headed to the hurricane-ravaged South, though, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin lashed out at federal officials, telling a local radio station that they don't have a clue what's going on down here. Federal officials expressed sympathy but quickly defended themselves, saying they too were overwhelmed by the catastrophe that hit the Gulf Coast region. Nagin's comments were on WWL Radio, which is our affiliate in New Orleans, and it came as President Bush visited the Gulf Coast communities.
They told him we had an incredible crisis here, and that his flying over an Air Force One does not do it justice. And that I have been all around this city, and I am very frustrated because we are not able to marshal resources, and we're outmanned in just about every respect. You know the reason why the looters got out of control? Because we had most of our resources saving people, thousands of people that were stuck in attics, man, old ladies. When you pull off the doggone ventilator vent and you look down there and they're standing in there in water up to their freaking neck. And they don't have a clue what's going on down there. They flew down here one time, 2 days after the doggone event was over, with TV cameras, AP reporters, all kind of, excuse my French, everybody in America, but I am.
Did you say to the President of the United States, I need the military in here?
I said I need everything. Now, I will tell you this, and I give the President some credit on this. He sent one John Wayne dude down here that can get some stuff done, and his name is General Honoré. And he came off the doggone chopper, and he started cussing, and people started moving. And he's getting some stuff done. They ought to give that guy, they don't want to give it to me, give him full authority to get the job done, and we can save some people.
What do you need right now to get control of this situation?
I need reinforcements. I need troops, man. I need 500 buses, man. We're talking about, you know, one of the briefings we had, they were talking about getting, public school bus drivers to come down here and bus people out here. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is a national disaster. Get every doggone Greyhound bus line in the country and get their asses moving to New Orleans. That's they thinking small, man, and this is a major, major, major deal. And I can't emphasize it enough, man. This is crazy. I've got 15 to 20,000 people over at the convention center. It's bursting at the seams. The poor people in Plaquemines Parish, they're air-vacking people over here in New Orleans. We don't have anything, and we're sharing with our brothers in Plaquemines Parish. It's awful down here, man.
Do you believe that the president is seeing this, holding news conference on it, but can't do anything until Kathleen Blanco requests him to do it? And do you know whether or not she has made that request?
I have no idea what they're doing, but I will tell you this. You know, God is looking down on all this, and if they are not doing everything in their power to save people, they are going to pay the price. Because every day that we delay, people are dying. And they're dying by the hundreds, I'm willing to bet you. We're getting reports and calls that is breaking my heart from people saying, I've been in my attic. I can't take it anymore. The water is up to my neck. I don't think I can hold out. And that's happening as we speak. And you know what really upsets me, Garland? We told everybody the importance of the 17th Street Canal issue. We said, please, please take care of this. We don't care what you do. Figure it out.
Who'd you say that to?
Everybody. The governor. You know, Homeland Security, FEMA, you name it, we said it. And, you know, they allowed that pumping station next to it, Pumping Station 6, to go underwater. Our sewage and water board people, Marcia St. Martin, stayed there and endangered their lives. And what happened when that pumping station went down, the water started flowing again in the city. And it started getting to levels that probably killed more people. In addition to that, we had water flowing through the pipes in this city. That's a power station over there. So there's no water flowing anywhere on the east bank of Orleans Parish. So a critical water supply was destroyed because of lack of action.
Why couldn't they drop the 3,000-pound sandbags or the containers that they were talking about earlier? Was it an engineering feat that just couldn't be done?
They said it was some pulleys that they had to manufacture, but, you know, in a state of emergency, man, you are creative. You figure out ways to get stuff done. Then they told me that they went overnight and they built 17 concrete structures, and they had the pulleys on them, and they were going to drop them. I flew over that thing yesterday, and it's in the same shape that it was after the storm hit. There is nothing happening. And they're feeding the public a line of bull, and it's spinning, and people are dying down here.
If some of the public called, and they're right, that there's a law that the president, that the federal government can't do anything without local or state request, would you request martial law?
I've already called for martial law in the city of New Orleans. We did that a few days ago.
Did the governor do that too?
I don't know. I don't think so. But we called for martial law when we realized that the looting was getting out of control, and we redirected all of our police officers back to patrolling the streets. They were dead tired from saving people, but they worked all night because we thought this thing was going to blow wide open last night. And so we redirected all of our resources, and we held it under check. I'm not sure if we can do that another night with the current resources. And I am telling you right now, they're showing all these reports of people looting and doing all that weird stuff, and they are doing that. But people are desperate, and they're trying to find food and water, the majority of them. Now, you got some knuckleheads out there, and they are taking advantage of this lawless, this situation where, you know, we can't really control it, and they are doing some awful, awful things. But that's a small majority of the people. Most people are looking to try and survive. And you've got one of the things people have, nobody's talked about this. Drugs flowed in and out of New Orleans and the surrounding metropolitan area so freely it was scary to me. And that's why we were having an escalation in murders. People don't want to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it. You had drug addicts that are now walking around this city looking for a fix. And that's the reason why they were breaking in hospitals and drug stores. They're looking for something to take the edge off of their Jones, if you will. And right now, they don't have anything to take the edge off. And they probably found guns. So what you're seeing is drug-starving, crazy addicts, drug addicts, that are wreaking havoc. And we don't have the manpower to adequately deal with. We can only target certain sections of the city and form a perimeter around them and hope to God that we're not overrun.
Well, you and I must be in the minority, because apparently there's a section of our citizenry out there that thinks because of a law that says the federal government can't come in unless requested by the proper people, that everything that's going on to this point has been done as good as it can possibly be.
Really?
I know you don't feel that way.
Well, did the tsunami victims request, you go through a formal process to request? You know, did the Iraqi people request that we go in there? Did they ask us to go in there? What is more important? This is, you know, and I'll tell you, man, I'm probably going to get in a whole bunch of trouble. I'm probably going to get in so much trouble it ain't even funny. They probably won't even want to deal with me after this interview is over.
Well, you and I'll be in the funny place together.
But we authorized $8 billion to go to Iraq. Lickety-quick. After 9/11. We gave the president unprecedented powers, lickety-quick, to take care of New York and other places. Now, you mean to tell me that a place where most of your oil is coming through, a place that is so unique, when you mention New Orleans anywhere around the world, everybody's eyes light up. You mean to tell me that a place where you probably have thousands of people that have died and thousands more that are dying every day, that we can't figure out a way to authorize the resources that we need? Come on, man. You know, I'm not one of those drug addicts. I am thinking very clearly. And I don't know whose problem it is. I don't know whether it's the governor's problem. I don't know whether it's the president's problem. But somebody needs to get their ass on a plane and sit down, the two of them, and figure this out right now.
What can we do here?
Keep talking about it.
Okay. We'll do that. What else can we do?
Organize people to write letters, make calls to their congressmen, to the president, to the governor. Flood their doggone offices with requests to do something. This is ridiculous. And I don't want to see anybody do any more press conferences. Put a moratorium on press conferences. Don't do another press conference until the resources are in this city. And then come down to this city and stand with us when there are military trucks and troops that we can't even count. Don't tell me 40,000 people are coming here. They're not here. It's too doggone late. Now get off your and let's do something. And let's fix the biggest crisis in the history of this country.
I'll say it right now. You're the only politician that's called for arms like this. And if whatever it takes, the governor, president, whatever law precedent it takes, whatever it takes, I bet that the people listening to you are on your side.
Well, I hope so, Garland. I'm at the point now where it don't matter. People are dying. They don't have homes. They don't have jobs. The city of New Orleans will never be the same in this time.
We're both pretty speechless here.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
I gotta go.
And obviously very upset, Mayor Ray Nagin from New Orleans. We'll have open lines for you tonight. In this hour, at least, I would ask you to restrict your calls primarily to the hurricane reaction comments. Then we'll have Linda Moulton Howe next hour to talk on a major story with some crop formation she's uncovered. And then I will have 2 hours of general open lines for you. But this hour, please restrict it to your comments, your thoughts about the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And I thought it was very important that you would hear the frustration from the New Orleans mayor. And therefore, that is why I played that lengthy clip for you. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
From San Andreas, California.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I actually called to tell you a story. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that it was just for the hurricane.
Nope. You can do that next hour. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
My name's George. I'm calling from New Franklin, Missouri. And listen, I've been watching this on TV, and every time a commercial comes on, General Motors is trying to sell a new truck for $28,000, and this country is going to pot like it is, and gasoline at $6 a gallon. I think they got very poor taste for trying to promote their trucks because they may be losing a little bit of money and running them commercials like that on TV.
Well, listen, though, it's a catch-22, and let me tell you why. We need to keep this economy in this country going. We need to buy products. We need to sell products. And even though it may seem very awkward at this point, if we shut down commerce, if we shut down the way that this system works, this whole country starts to collapse economically and otherwise. I agree. Gasoline prices are way out of line. There's no doubt about that. But our companies cannot stop doing what they're doing. We cannot let this tremendous tragedy stop us from our American way of life. And whether these cars sell for $10,000 or $60,000, I have nothing but compassion for everyone in this country that we need to keep this country rolling along. It's going to be a tough road, let me tell you. But don't get upset, not because they're just trying to sell their products. We have to keep this country rolling. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. For the unforeseeable future, I'm going to be devoting at least the first hour of Coast to Coast to updates with regards to Hurricane Katrina. And we'll be looking at various stories and issues as this affects everybody there and here, as a matter of fact. Next week, for example, I've got some people from the St. Louis Sewer District who have had experience in floods. They had a major flood in 1993, and they're going to talk about what it's going to take to get the entire sewer system working again in New Orleans, if it can be, but different areas and different aspects like that, plus our regular Coast to Coast programs. You know, we've got to teeter a fine line. This is a very strange program that deals with so many mysteries of the mind, but there are times where I have received, I can't tell you how many thousands of emails from people who have asked me not to broadcast any hurricane-related stories, and I cannot do that. And I explained to many of them why, and that simply was, this is a story of such magnitude, it's so critical and so important that we do that. And be that as it may, of course, then I've received a number of emails as well from people who would like wall-to-wall coverage regarding Hurricane Katrina. And at the same time, we can't do that either, and there's a reason for that. Of the millions of listeners that we have here at Coast to Coast AM, a lot of people turn to Coast at night not to escape. It's not not a fair phrase, but to just sit back and get their minds off the day-to-day stories of the day. Now, I know this is a major story, and we're not going to forget it, and don't misunderstand me here. But a lot of people who listen to this program have gotten the news that they need to get from the mainstream media in terms of the what's happening. Of course, we have our own different angles on Coast to Coast, as you are well aware. So they turn to Coast at night for the different stories, for the unusual stories. So that's why I need to balance both of them. And I just thought it was important for me to explain that to all of you who have been emailing me one way or another over the past week, and we will continue to try to balance it as gingerly as we can. I'll be back in a moment. We'll continue to take your phone calls this hour, please. Let's restrict it to your comments, your reaction to the Hurricane Katrina aftermath and what's going on there. Next hour, Linda Moulton Howe joins us. She's live in Los Angeles in my studio. And then after Linda's on, after that hour, I'll have 2 hours of special open lines for you, plus a hotline I'm going to open up, and I think you'll enjoy that. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go right back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You are on the air with us. And where might you be? Hi there.
Mississippi.
Yes, sir. Well, how are you, sir?
Oh, fine. We're up in the northern part of the state. But I want to tell you, I enjoy listening to your show. You got me through a many of nights. And but also what I'd like to say is, you know, these are American citizens that are down there. This, you know, we do so much for other countries and everything, and I'm thoroughly glad we do that. But these are our people, whether they're black, white, green, whatever. These are our folks, our citizens. And our first priority should be to them. And I can't understand how we can fly a bomber that can drop a bomb all the way around the country and hit within a yard of where they aim it, but we can't drop a water bottle to somebody on a rooftop.
Well, it took days to do that, finally, didn't it? Unbelievable that it has taken so long for any kind of major
response. And I still believe once they get into those homes and find the amount of people who have probably passed on, you know, there may be some survivors. You know, we may be lucky here. But it just, it's a horrible situation. And what bothers me more than anything, this is a wake-up call. And I said that earlier this week, that we need to get ready. We're not ready. After 9/11, this country, with the billions of dollars we spent into Homeland Security, I want to know what they did with the money, quite frankly, because they surely didn't put it into making sure that things would work if we had problems or chaos or terrorist attacks on a larger scale than we had in New York. And I am just in shock, quite frankly, that the whole system has broken down and it doesn't appear to be organized. There are some people out there, men and women, who are working around the clock, who, as far as I'm concerned, are gods. And there are some people in the military who are in there working hard to make this work for people. But by and large, the management of this entire thing has been shoddy. And if you were running a company today, let's assume you were the chief executive of a company, what would you do with all these managers that would be working under you? I bet you'd fire them all, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Today, if not sooner.
Yep.
George, let me ask you something else real quick. You remember when the St. Louis floods happened back in 94, I think?
1993.
Okay. If those had happened in California, or this had happened in Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York, do you not believe the response would have been quicker?
I don't understand why the response was not quicker, quite frankly. It shocks me. I mean, were they numb? Did they not realize the significance of this, how bad it was? In St. Louis, and I was here, I saw the floods, I saw what happened to stores, businesses, people's homes. We had deaths, not the kind of deaths that they've had in Biloxi and in New Orleans by any means, because we didn't have, we had melting snows and heavy rains that came down from the north in the Mississippi and the Missouri River, just couldn't handle it all, and it flooded. But we didn't have the catastrophe of a hurricane at that time. But the response was pretty fast. I mean, the levee broke, and that's what caused our biggest problem, and they have since repaired it, and they claim that it will never happen again. In the case of New Orleans, they were on borrowed time, as far as I'm concerned. They knew that eventually a major hurricane or some kind of calamity was going to take that city down, and they didn't do it. They kept putting it off. They kept allocating the money to other things, and they got caught. And it was tragic. It really was.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think that, you know, if we would all the Coast to Coast listeners, if they could give $5, if only a million of them done it, think that's $5 million.
Absolutely. And if everybody would just donate to that specific cause or charity there that they want to, I'm not so sure the American Red Cross is the place to send the money, quite frankly.
I don't either.
I was not happy with the way they raised money for the victims of 9/11 at all.
And the way they dispersed it, it's still there. It still hasn't been dispersed.
Exactly. Thanks for the call, and good luck to you guys out there. Okay. Our prayers go out to all of you. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is John from Seattle.
Hey, John.
And, you know, I was one thing that really bothered me. When I saw this, I just wanted to kick my TV set in. You know, you have people all over the streets in New Orleans, you know, wondering where's the help? And then a second later, they split to another scene where the Corps of Engineers are dropping 3,000-pound sandbags into the dike. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care about the dike. If you can drop 3,000 pounds of sand into a dike, you can drop 3,000-pound pallets of food and water and medical supplies into New Orleans.
That's right. Why are
you wasting your time on the friggin' dike?
That's,
you know,
right.
They should have 100 helicopters flying in and out of New Orleans, dropping, you know. Oh, 24 hours a day, just dropping stuff off. And
our response has been faster getting food and medicine and water to other third world nations that need it than it was here at home.
Exactly. I see a lady walking around, her newborn kid is dying in her arms because there's no formula, there's no diapers. but yet we're dropping bags of sand into a dike? I mean, come on. Oh, I'm upset. I'm real mad.
Well,
that's
did
all
you
I gotta say. Thanks,
did you
George.
Okay, I appreciate it. First time caller line, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Liam from near Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hi, sir.
And it's an honor to speak to you. Two things I wanted to say tonight. One, personally, what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up my home to the Salvation Army, take in one of these families, and, you know, get them back on their feet for a month or two, whatever it takes. That's personally what I think a lot of Americans should do, because these are Americans we're talking about.
Good for you.
And the second thing I wanted to say is I've been thinking about this now. In the next couple of months, there's going to be hundreds of billions of dollars getting shipped down there to the insurance companies to rebuild this city and these towns and all this area down there. Problem we're going to have, and I don't know where it's going to go, but there's going to be a lot of jobs, and there's going to be a lot of people needing work. I really hope it doesn't go to the illegal aliens. I really hope it goes to our people, and it should be mandatory.
Would that be something if the illegals got a lot of those jobs?
Well, they will. You know, it's going to be semi-skilled labor, and I know we've talked about. You've talked about it a lot, but
oh yes.
You know, this is an American problem, an American issue, and we need to handle this as Americans. And I really hope that we all take this to heart.
All right, thanks for your comments. Appreciate it. Next up, you are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, I'm Janet from Nashville.
Hey, Janet, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. You were talking last night about. The different countries that had made offers to help us, and I thought that was very powerful, and I'd like it if you go over it again, specifically, even Holland, all these countries that made offers, specific ways to help us, but we refused. So I would appreciate it if you could give us that information again. And also, this is just a wonder if. I wonder how things would be different if Giuliani had been the mayor of New Orleans.
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, he was pretty aggressive in the handling of what was going on during 9/11, and no telling what he would have done. Now, this particular mayor, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin, did all he could, I think, under the circumstances, screaming and yelling to get some help in there. There is some criticism that he should have gotten those buses out of there sooner and used those for evacuations of people. Maybe he screwed up on that basis. In terms of some of the countries that finally offered to help us, after a day or two, they all didn't jump on board right away, but Canada, of course, Venezuela has helped us. Israel has helped us. Iran has offered to help. Russia offered to help. We turned them down. How strange. But just a number of countries have decided to offer help, some in money, too, for some private corporations. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with me. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
George,
yes, sir.
Listen. I've been thinking about this, and something's been sitting with me. It's been a little uneasy about this whole thing. When I look at the reaction of the government, and your caller a couple calls ago had mentioned that, you know, we're a country that can drop a bomb on a dime from 10 miles out in space or whatever it was, and that's true. This almost feels like a controlled experiment. It feels like FEMA is waiting to see what the social reaction is going to be. And it's almost like this is an observation from afar. And it's really strange because everybody that they're rescuing from these rooftops that have been there for days are all being dropped off in three or four specific locations where no one can leave. And it's really, really odd to me. And I look at that, and I don't know if you had a chance to see Fox News today, but Geraldo Rivera and Shepard Smith both broke down, and they couldn't understand why, quote, the National Guard was not letting people walk away from these locations. And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that, because to me it's almost as if somebody saw this hurricane coming, and then it was almost an opportunity to say, I wonder what would happen if, and how can we control maybe a disease outbreak?
Well, you are not the first person to think about this possibility, but let me ask you this.
Sure.
If they were to walk away from where they were dropped off, where are they going to go? And so maybe they're just trying to restrict some of that. You know, most of these people have been in horribly unsanitary conditions. Maybe they wanted to just contain people. But if you let them all walk around, where are they going to go? I mean, like the people we brought to Houston.
Sure, that's true. But they also, they turned buses away. And there were opportunities. Now here's what's weird is that throughout, you know, the last couple of days, there were, you know, rogue elements of buses, you know, coming in and trying to assist these people. And then all of a sudden it stopped. The roadblocks went up. And what I see is, a perimeter and a containment. I don't know what it's about, but it's really strange to me that we couldn't get helicopters coming to the Superdome to drop off food and water, if nothing else, just to fly by and drop off. It's almost, it just seems strange to me.
Well, let me tell you something. That theory will be around for a long, long time, because there are a lot of people who believe exactly like you do that they took advantage of this catastrophe, and they are watching the psychology of people. And quite frankly, for some of them, these people can't handle it. They've broken down. They've become predators. Some of the things that have been going on, absolutely abominable, quite frankly. And you would never think that that would occur and occur so quickly. But you know what? There's a saying that desperate people will do desperate things. And then other people will take advantage of the weak. And that's what's been going on as well. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jan.
Hi, Jan. Where are you?
We're in Colorado.
Okay, go ahead.
All these people in New Orleans need money and don't have jobs. And I got to thinking, wouldn't it make more sense for the federal government to start hiring and paying these people to go back to work and clean up the mess that the hurricane left?
Well, you can do that once things recede.
Right.
They can't go there now. I mean, the water's still high. It's going to take, I think, weeks, maybe months to get that water out of there. And then they have to decide how they're going to rebuild, what they're going to rebuild. You know, I looked at an aerial picture of New Orleans today, and I tried to visualize a truck that would, you know, a wrecking truck, all right, that would, and a bulldozer. And let me tell you something. You're going to need tens of thousands of bulldozers to do that. I mean, this is as if an atomic bomb was dropped on an American city and took the whole thing out. This is bigger than Hiroshima. This is bigger than Nagasaki, because this entire city, 80% of it, 85% of it, is ruined, absolutely ruined. What are you going to do with that? Can you imagine for a moment? Put yourself in these people's shoes. No job, no house, no place to go. Many of them sent now to other regions where they have no idea where they are. No family, minimal friends, no money. What a horrible situation. But somewhere along the line, somebody should have planned this, I think. And I'll tell you what bothers me, and I'm going to say it right now because it's the biggest thing that concerns me. If you believe that terrorism is indeed real, or if you believe that it's manipulated by groups that want to do something to the United States, friends, and I'm not telling them anything that they don't already know, I'm telling this to you. This is the time that we will be attacked, if it's going to happen, because this is the time that our gloves are down. And can this country handle various terror attacks across this country at this point with the way they handle the situation in New Orleans? You think about that. Answer that question to yourself, not to me. I'll be back in a moment. Linda Moulton Howe, our guest. Let's just sit back, calm down for just a bit.